Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Pastor John Manarain. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God is so good. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like dancing more, you know, in that worship earlier. There's no one like Jehovah. Amen. No one like Jehovah. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to share the word tonight. You know, it's been a while. It's about time the Lord says, John, put your guitar aside, and you know, I need you to share the word. And when Pastor told me, I've been praying, Lord, what would you want me to share? And I have things in mind, but the Lord just changed it last minute, just like what Pastor was saying. And I greatly appreciate our pastors, you know, when they share the word on Sundays, they really seek the Lord, and they really listen to His voice. Amen. And the message tonight is, it applies to our lives, okay? It applies to our spiritual walk. And, you know, it's really true that God is warning us these days. We're living in the last days. These are the signs of His coming, amen? Aren't we glad that, you know, He just don't struck us, you know, and, you know, unattended or whatever, we're not aware of it? But He's giving these signs. David Wilkerson says, the late David Wilkerson, the pastor in New York, Times Square, he said, you can call it doomsday, but it's the truth. It will come to pass. So these are the signs. But these signs, you know, the flood in Houston and all these things should not scare us. Amen. We'll pray for them and should not scare us. But it warns us to be more attentive and alert for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's go to the throne of grace this evening before we go to the word. Let me pray. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your wonderful presence in our midst, Lord. Awesome presence, Lord God. Your spirit is so sweet in this place, Lord. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you that you would just enlighten us this evening, Lord God. Open the scriptures unto us, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us, O God, as we go to your word. Your word is truth, Lord God. Your word is living. It's powerful, O God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would, that we, as we take it, Lord God, we're going to apply it and obey what your commandments are saying, O God. Lord, we thank you and we bless you this evening. Bless the folks. Bless everyone that are here this morning. Even those who are not here, I pray that you would deal with them. That, Lord God, that you would convict their hearts and that you would bring them here on Sunday, Lord. So, Father, we thank you and we bless your name this evening. God, you are so great, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. That's that first song. It says, I was so blessed. There's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Him. Because we have victory in Jesus, we also have victory in Him. Amen? Amen. As His children. So let's open our scriptures. If you have your Bible, it's going to be on the screen, I believe, on Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. And I've entitled this message this evening, What Would You Have Me Do, Lord Jesus? Have you thought that for a moment in your walk with the Lord, that sometimes, man, I honestly would testify that I always overtake the Lord. I always do my own thing. It's me. Even if I'm in the ministry, you know, sometimes I do things that, you know, I feel like the Lord is pulling my shirt. Wait, son, wait. You got to wait. I have something for you. And sometimes I miss the blessing. But have you really thought of asking Jesus, really, personally, Lord, what would you want me to do? What would you want me to do? And I got this, by the way, Pastor T.A. is not aware, but I got my title when he was praying last Sunday about the offering and tithes and praying for the message of Pastor Fee. At the end, he said, Lord, what you want us to do, have us do, Lord God. So I felt convicted on that. When Pastor Fee told me you'll be sharing on the 30th, whoa. You know, and I've been asking, I was at Frisco, Lord, what would you want me to share? And I'm already looking at Matthew 25. I was going to share the parable of the 10 virgins. But the Lord says, wait, son. So last Sunday, God pierced into my heart and said, son, I need you. And I want you to share something for me. And I have a word for you. And I have a word for the church. So let's look up Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. It says here, it's about the biography or historical event that happened in the life of Joshua. You know Joshua, right? It's very familiar book in the Old Testament. How many here believe that God can use the Old Testament, both Old Testament and New Testament, right? And scriptures don't contradict scriptures. It's the Old and New Testament. There are 39 books on the Old and 27 Hebrew and Greek or Aramaic. It's the whole counsel of God. And what is the central theme of the Bible? It's Jesus. Yes, Sister Pam, you got it. The central theme of the Bible is Jesus. Jesus is in the Old Testament, by the way, okay? It's not only in the New Testament, because I've heard some teachings before. Old Testament is outdated, you know. It's much relevant in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ is there. But in the Old Testament, Jesus was shown there, like the theophany, the appearance of God. Remember the three Hebrew children? When they were set on fire in the fiery furnace, there was a fourth person. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Genesis chapter 1, 26, it says, when God was creating man, let us make man in our own image. So Jesus is always there, even from the beginning. So both Old Testament and New Testament, the central theme is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. So let's read the scripture, the text here. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. Verse 1, it says here, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land that I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of Hittites, and to the great sea toward going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Again, I will repeat that. Be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8. This is one of my favorite verses. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from you, from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, it says here, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. What a wonderful comfort and promise that God has given Joshua in this state wherein Moses already died and he's passing the baton, the leadership to Joshua. And this is the commission of Joshua and his calling. How many believe here that all of us have a calling? Amen. All of us have a calling. It's just our calling is very unique and distinctively, you know, each God has given us a task, an assignment, a gift that God has given us in our calling. So, by the way, who's Joshua? Joshua is the son of Nun. I just realized that there's Nun in the Bible. Like, the Catholic nun, N-U-N. No, I'm just kidding. like the priest or whatever. But he is the son of Nun. He came from the tribe of Ephraim. Joshua was from the tribe of Ephraim. He is one of the son of Ephraim is one of the son of Joseph. Remember Joseph the dreamer in the book of Genesis. And his second son was, I think, was Manasseh. And he was born in slavery. So Joseph was born in Egypt. So he saw the slavery that is going on there, the taskmaster that giving them the job. But he was a great man, right? He was Joshua. Joshua was a great man. I'm not talking about Joshua Herrera, or a keyboard player or a pianist, but Joshua in the Old Testament. Although I want to be like Joshua playing, you know, because he's so anointed in playing the piano. But Joshua is a great man that God had used. In my outline here, I said, I wrote, Joshua was an intimate, faithful assistant of Moses for 40 years in the desert, in their wandering in the desert. He had witnessed the 10th plague judgment, the first Passover. Remember, they put the blood on the doorpost so that when the angel of death will come, he won't kill the babies. And he has seen the miraculous Red Sea crossing when God parted the Red Sea. And he has seen a lot of supernatural signs during Israel's journey. He served Moses as military leader in the battle against the Amalekites soon after leaving Egypt. So God had reminded me about Joshua. Although my title is saying, let's focus on the title, it says, what would you have me do, Lord Jesus? Honestly, what would you want me to do? And sometimes, as I've said, that sometimes I overtake the Lord and sometimes I ask for forgiveness. There's a part in me that I could not wait sometimes. Have you experienced that sometimes? And sometimes we just need God's blessing, you know. And we just, in our prayers, Lord, bless me this. Lord, I need a new car. I need a new house. My car is getting slower. Everybody's passing me, cutting me off. At least I need a Mustang, a GT Mustang, and, you know, I would race them, you know, these cars. But honestly, God is so, the provision of God, He blesses with many things. As they said, count your blessing one by one. God never fails, amen. He's faithful to provide. And there's time that my wife could attest to this, and we have a bill to pay, and last minute God will provide. And we don't know where to get the payment, the bill, but God is always providing. So let's learn, there's some principles that we could learn from the life of Joshua that Jesus wants us to do, or Jesus wants us, we could get an example from the life of Joshua. First and foremost, I also adhere to Pastor Fee's message that last Sunday, that we need a shepherd, right? We need Jesus. This nation needs a shepherd. This nation needs direction. This nation needs wisdom. Our leadership, you know, from the top, you know, from the president and all the officials in the government, because this nation have sinned against the Lord, and all these signs are coming for judgment. So what Jesus wants us to do in the life, and we could see in the life of Joshua, is number one is Joshua first became a servant. Okay? I have a quote here from one of the prolific author and writer, Theodore H. Epp. He quoted, he said, 40 years of Joshua's life spent as a slave in Egypt, the foundation of his spiritual life was laid. Okay, so 40 years and from slavery, Joshua really saw what's been going on and happening in Egypt. And then he is a servant to the Pharaoh and also a servant to God. He was born in slavery. It was in this capacity he learned obedience and submission and hardness from the taskmaster. So he obeyed, he submitted to the Pharaoh, and he also submitted to God. He was a servant. He got a servant's heart. And for me, I could also see that he was a runner. A runner for God, a runner for Moses. When Moses called him, he probably, because Moses was the commander-in-chief and he was the private or corporal. And when he called him, he is always there. And he was just there and supporting Moses. So I would say here that God wants us to be a servant first. Amen. God wants us to be a servant first. In this day and time, Pastor T.A. mentioned about we need to stand on our post. The best thing to do so that we will not fall to sin or we will not partake of the things of this world is to serve God. You got to be in the church. You got to be where the presence of God is. You got to be in the fellowship so that you can serve God with full capacity, just like Joshua. He always run and serve God and serve Moses. In Mark 9:35, it says here, this is the Lord Jesus. He was with the disciples or the 12 disciples. He said, and he sat down and called the 12. And he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Amen. And on Matthew 20:28, he says here, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus, even Jesus, our great example, our number one example, he came to serve and not to be served. You know, he healed the sick. You know, I remember his first miracle was the wine, the wedding in Cana, right? He turned the water into wine, and he told his mother that it's not time for me yet to do this, but he did. You know, he turned that wine, and Jesus was really serving, and that's his purpose. So just like Jesus and Joshua, we have to serve. God wants us to serve. You know, it's the best place to be. It's the best thing to do is to serve. You know, when you serve, you don't serve me, you don't serve Pastor Fee or Pastor T.A., you serve God. Amen? Amen. You know, it's so, I'll be honest, it's, you know, in the church, and we, of course, we need to pray that people will be involved and people will respond to the calling of God and those who are, by the way, this message today is mainly for the Christians, those who have been born again into the kingdom of God, those who have been washed by the blood of Jesus, and now God is calling them like Joshua, and he called Joshua to serve. So God wants us to serve. Jesus wants us to serve first, and it's a fact, or it's given in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness will be added. So we need to seek, we need to serve, we need to do something in his kingdom, amen? And not be idle and complain and murmur. If for instance, I said, I'm going to change what I'm doing. I'll take up my guitar and give it to Pastor Fee, okay? And I'll tell Pastor Fee, Pastor, I'll be the senior pastor now, okay? And you'll be singing. Go to this corner, sing the Lala song, Lala song. And Pastor T.A. will be the backup. No, I can't do that, right? And even Joshua could not overpower Moses, or else there would be no book of Joshua, you know. He submitted under the authority. He submitted under Moses. It's the same thing. We submit to what God had put in authority. Amen. We need to serve. We need to obey. And one of the servants here I appreciate, or a couple, is Sister Araceli, Sister Tammy, Sister Yvonne. They're here in the morning. Sister Araceli will set up the equipment here every Saturday. Man, yeah, that's service. Amen. She's not doing it for Pastor Fee or neither for the worship leader, but for God. And I was wondering, Lord, where are the men, you know, the men with the muscles, you know, and, you know, setting up, just to set up the stage. You cannot find them. So You know, I'm not putting judgment or condemnation, but you know, there's a lot of things to do in the kingdom of God. Let's never think that we cannot do anything for God. Amen. It's just by merely talking to somebody, you know, shaking their hands and praying for them. That's a service for God. Amen. And we need to get involved, especially in these last days. Pastor T.A. mentioned, we need to stand on our post. We need to be active. We need to be, there's no time to idle. There's no time to, you know, I'm still thinking if I'm going on Sunday because there's a party over there going on and with the relative and stuff. But we need to serve. God wants us to serve in His kingdom. I always pray that, Lord, when you come, I know God will come. May you find me in the kingdom serving. May you not find me in the world participating in the things of the world. But may you find me in the kingdom of God serving. Amen. So God has called everyone, has commissioned everyone to do something for Him. And it's a lie from the enemy that you weren't called or you weren't assigned for something. God will develop your gifts. God probably one of these days, one of you will also share the word. Just merely testifying here, it's a privilege. And I said it's a privilege, but we also have a big accountability, you know, in this pulpit. Because when we share the word, we're accountable to Him. Amen. Because we need to preach the truth, nothing but the truth. Because the truth will set us free. Amen. And not only that Joshua was a servant. God wants us to be servant. He is also a disciple. Amen. It's right there, a disciple. Joshua became a disciple. He says here, he must have learned much from Moses. He trusted counselor, mentor about the ways of God and difficulties in leading the people. Difficulties. You know, sometimes to be a leader is not easy, right, Pastor Fee, Pastor T.A.? Man, there's some things there. There's some, you know, really need to bend or you know, you need strength. I mean, it's not to fight people or whatever, but or make a scene or, you know. So Joshua was also a disciple. So God wants us to be a disciple. Amen. And he learned a lot from Moses. Okay. In leading the people, he became a leader. To become a leader, you must first become a disciple. You know, he's put Greg Laurie. You know Greg Laurie, right? The Harvest Christian pastor, Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside. He used to do a Harvest Crusade here in Jack Murphy Stadium, and you always go, man. I'm so blessed. And when he got saved, they came from the hippie generation, and their pastor is Pastor Chuck Smith Sr. And one time, because he got saved, he got born again, he was on fire and said, he told Pastor Chuck, you know, bluntly said, Pastor, I want to share the word. I want to preach, just like you. Okay, says Pastor Chuck. So the next thing Pastor Chuck told him, go ahead, he said, during the service, go get the broom and the mop, floor mop, you know, mop the floor. And, you know, Greg Laurie doesn't understand. Why is he giving, you know, I'm ready to preach now, you know. I can preach. And, but Pastor Chuck was teaching him about, you know, servanthood and about being a disciple. And until Greg Laurie realizes, because he wants to hear what the Lord is speaking, you know, to his heart. How many here have seen The Karate Kid by Ralph? I like that one. And the teacher, the Japanese guy, I forgot. You know, remember that when he was saying he brought him to a car wash or whatever to clean something. Wax off, wax out, and the Karate Kid, he's complaining, what? You need to teach me karate. You know, what's this? You know, you want me to clean. But little did he know that that thing is, you know, to defend, you know, it's a karate technique. So we need to be a disciple. We need to be a learner. Amen. A disciple means is a follower and a learner. And the literal meaning of the word disciple, I don't know if I wrote it there, it says in the New Testament, Greek, it's called mathetes. Mathetes or mathetes, which means a learner or pupil. You know, so even I, even the pastors, they're still disciples. We are the disciples of Jesus Christ. We learn every day. We learn from the Word of God. You know, we cannot say we know everything. And sometimes I have a spiritual pride. That's why I'm saying that this message tonight is basic. It's because sometimes the basic would bring us to our first love. Amen. Sometimes even when I have the spiritual pride of if I hear another topical lesson and think, oh, I already know that topic, you know, somebody already taught it, but not really, because sometimes God can give us a message from the basic, you know, teachings. Although Hebrews chapter 6 says we need to leave the elementary teachings of Christ and go to perfection and teach the essential doctrines like baptism, resurrection from the dead. If you have time, read Hebrews chapter 6. And there's a lot of topical lessons that we could learn, like sanctification. I heard Sister Yoli taught about the sanctification. It's one of the forms of salvation, right? There are three forms of salvation. Who here knows the three forms of salvation? One is sanctification. One is justification, and the third one is glorification. Those again, that's another topic, and we could learn from those topics. So, although the Hebrew writer wants us to leave the elementary teachings, once in a while we need to get a break. Sometimes if we get tired, and sometimes God will bring us to a dry land, right? We need to go back to the basic, and it will bring us our first life, our first love for the Lord. Amen. And we cannot say that, oh, those are all basic, I already read those, and do you have anything new? But there's also always a gem in the Word of God, right? When we study the Word, that's why we need to study. We're going to go to that one next. Another one is, so Jesus wants us to be patient and be a disciple of Christ. So that's why Bible studies are very important. You know, Sunday morning is not enough. We have to really listen and be disciples. When Pastor is saying, Pastor Phil is saying that we need to do this, we need to gather and teach the Word. I believe Pastor T will teach pretty soon another, you know, topic. You know, that's good. You need to come and be disciples and be a learner. Okay, because one day God will use you, and you will remember all those things that you have learned from the leader. Amen. Number three, Joshua was also a witness in and out of Egypt. So he was a witness. He had experienced and seen the 10th plague, just like I said earlier, Joshua's background. He had seen the 10th plague judgment, the first Passover, the miraculous Red Sea crossing, the supernatural signs, judgment during the Israel's journey, and more. So he was a witness in Egypt when he was on slavery, and witness for God when they got out and when they were in the wilderness. God wants us also to be witness for him, right? Amen? Amen. Not Jehovah's Witness, okay, but a witness. But, you know, although, we need to do that too. I mean, you know, these cults, the reason why these cults are growing, because they're zealous in what they're doing, zealously wrong, of course. How much more we have the truth?
That's right.
Yeah. Sometimes probably one time we can go out there and knock on doors and, you know, just share the Word. Share the Word, or tell them, hey, we have a church here. We have a fellowship. Sometimes when you say church, oops, just tell them, hey, we have a fellowship here. Probably you want to check it out, and, you know, we study the Bible. And so we also need to be witness in and out. Amen. What I mean by in and out is in the church, we witness. We witness what's going on. We worship. We hear the word. But when we go out, we need to be a witness also. Amen. Share the word. You know, one thing so prevalent is happening sometimes in our experience in life. It's so amazing that when we are in the church, we have the church lingo, praise God and everything. Why can't we do the same thing in our work area? Of course, there's some regulations and rules. If you're being stopped by your boss doing that, you stop. But out there, you know, when you go out, you're talking with somebody, do the same thing. Share, you know, what God has done in your life, or share what you are doing in your life, walking with the Lord and all these things. So we need to be a witness. Sometimes we don't even need to talk, right? Sometimes we need to just serve and show them kindness, fruit of the Spirit, right? We need to share God's word to them and God's love, even if they resist sometimes. Because this nation is half divided and some of the minds are twisted, amen? Yeah, they don't have regard in the eternal word of God, amen? The moral values and all these things. And so Jesus wants us to be a witness in and out of the church. The next one, number four, Joshua was a warrior and soldier for God. He was Moses' military leader in battle against the Amalekites. And I wrote here, that's in Exodus 17, when you have time, just read that. Yeah, he was the high-ranking leader of Moses, and until he became the leader, the commander, when Moses passed. So I wrote here, we don't battle physically like Joshua, but we do battle with our flesh desire or with our sinful nature. Sometimes this has to die, amen? So, man, tell you, you know, he doesn't want to do the things of God, right? It's like my wife can witness to me that sometimes instead of reading the word, I'm in front of the TV set on the screen. Man, 2 hours, 3 hours. Then when you read the Bible, 5 minutes, you're already falling. You know? And we have to fight. We have to fight. I believe there's no more time. There's no more time to play around. There's no more. We the mañana habit, I'll do it later, you know, next. You know, we're living in the last days. We're living, man, this with this perilous time that anytime the Lord can come, anytime the Lord will, you know, to come and get us, amen. That's why we need to be prepared. I like it when Pastor said that, you know, that verse, the Lord will come in the thief of the night. You know, that's for the unbelievers. I agree that, because they won't be aware. But us, we're going to be aware when Jesus comes. We will know. As soon as the trumpet will blow, we know. God will give us spiritual, you know, will open our ears. That's why it's going to be hard if we're not prepared. If there's a sin over there, there's things that we're doing that, you know, we could not be, you know, if we're on the shore, seashore, our 1 foot should be on the water and 1 foot on the sand. That can't be. Okay? We have to go all the way. We have to dip in the water for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And, how do we battle? It says here, I wrote here, most of the time our flesh interferes with things of the Spirit. As Apostle Paul said, that I may die daily, the flesh desires, and live a life pleasing to God. We have a fleshly desires to conquer, and we can conquer it through prayer. We battle not physically, flesh and blood, Ephesians chapter 6, right? But we can go down deep, kneel before God and pray in order for us to overcome this. And to overcome the world, amen. And yes, the Lord Jesus wants us to be warriors for Him. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says here, praying at all times, right? Praying at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication to that end, and keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So not only that, we pray for our needs, or pray to overcome this flesh, we battle with that and the things of the world. We also pray for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. If you don't see somebody anymore coming every Sunday, or they're missing their church service, pray for them. Pray for them, you know, that the Lord would bring them back to the fold. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, it says, it, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So be anxious of anything. Sometimes my wife could again attest this. I murmur a lot. She's the quiet type, and I, you know, and instead of, you know, just go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Amen. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, the book of Matthew says we need to go to our room or to our closet, lock ourselves up and pray. That's one good thing to do also. But even if you're walking, you can pray. Even if you're in the market, wherever you are, at work, in your car, while you're driving, just don't close your eyes, okay, of course. You know, Lord, I claim for that car who passed me, who caught me up. Bless him, Lord, bless him. Save him. So, you know, we need to pray. That's where our battleground is, okay?
That's right.
We need to, you know, go before the Lord, to the throne of grace, and pray. You know, even in the book of Romans chapter 8, it says, sometimes we ought not want to pray, right?
That's right.
But the Holy Spirit will give us the intercession. Yeah, there was one thing Brother June at SPA shared to me that when I was working in Rancho Bernardo, he doesn't know why God is impressing to his heart that to pray for me. So I was on my way to work, and in Rancho Bernardo, I already close to the building and one of the streets. And there's this just one car sway to the right, and I got sandwiched. And at that time, Brother June was praying for me. So you can never tell, you know, what the Holy Spirit wants. You won't understand, of course, but you never know that this person is in danger, or this person needs to be set free, right? So our battleground is in prayer. We need to pray. And Corrie Ten Boom says, how many know Corrie Ten Boom? And during the time of Hitler, the German, you know, occupation, and they were Christians, and he's one of the leader. And he said, quote, don't pray when you feel like it, okay? Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees. Amen. A man is powerful on his knees. You know, we need to make that time, you know. Even like at work, even if you just go to the restroom and lock the door, and while you're doing your thing, you can just close your eyes. Lord, I commit this day to you, oh God. Lord, may I be, use me, Lord. May I be a blessing today, Lord God. And I pray that don't make me, or that I may not be hot-tempered or be angry with something and just, you know, witness to somebody. Amen? So you can pray anywhere. And sometimes the prayer requests on the email, I just lay hands on the screen. Lord, I'm praying for this brother who's sick, you know, heal him. Amen? So we need to pray. Jesus wants us to battle in prayer. That's a given. These are all basic, but sometimes it reminds us. It reminds us to do it again. It reminds us, Jesus, because sometimes when we're overwhelmed with problems, overwhelmed with the things of the world, where anxiety and all these things, this is the best thing, you know, best time to do, or to go to the Lord in prayer and battle. Amen? Amen. Number five, second to the last, it says here, Joshua valued God's word and his devotion to him. Amen. He was reminded by God. It says, God's instruction, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth, and meditate on it day only, right? Day only? No, day and night, right? Okay? Because most of the time, night, I'm snoring, you know, and forget to meditate on the word. But he wants us to meditate day and night. Do not let the word, the book of the law, depart from your mouth. It has to be a regular speech, a regular thing to say, right? A regular thing instead of cussing. You know, this word, oh man, you're gonna hear a lot of unbelievers, of course, here, even on the films or movies. That's why you need to be careful watching, because that could get into your brain, and sometimes you're not aware of you're doing it already. You're pronouncing it, right? That's why we need to, as soon as I hear, I stop, and so we need to be edified with the things of God. Amen. It says here that Joshua demonstrated an intense devotion and heart for God by often staying for a long time in the presence of the Lord. He was a man who treasured God's presence. Do you treasure God's presence? Amen. You know, it's the best place to be, to dwell in the presence of God. Amen. And devote our time, it's so wonderful to be in the presence of God. And sometimes I pray that I'll be like the psalmist, David, when he go before the Lord, he tell the Lord everything. He doesn't keep everything, keep anything from the Lord. He express everything to the Lord. Lord, I'm sad. Why so downcast, all my soul? Put your hope in God. And sometimes you even pray, Lord, kill my enemies or defeat my enemies. Because he has a lot of enemies during his times. So sometimes we have enemies in ourselves, right? That we could not. There's still things. By the way, in Joshua chapter 10, God has revealed this to me. The people of God, the Israelites, were defeating Joshua, taking over the land. And there's this one land, I believe it's Ai, and there's these five kings that, fighting Israel, and eventually they catch them, they ran after them, and these five kings went to the cave. If you have time, read Joshua chapter 10. And from the cave, they locked them up to the cave and they could not come out. And then finally, they wait for Joshua. He came, Joshua came, and he has to bring all those five kings. I think one of them is the king of Amorites and all this rites king, Jebusites, whatever, Amorites. They're all pagan god, and they're all believe in the pagan beliefs. So when Joshua came, he got them out and he killed them by the sword and hanged them on the tree. And that's what God wants him to do, because they're going to conquer the land. But spiritually speaking, what are those kings in your life that need to be cut off? God wants you to cut those off. I've heard many testimonies like drinking, smoking. I believe we've overcome those already, we're past that. Sometimes people are going back to those, we need to cut it off. Right. Even watching television, sometimes I need to cut it off. It's okay to watch the news, once in a while, but because the enemy would always do something to distract us. Amen. Sometimes even when me and my wife would have a devotion, the phone will ring, and somebody will call and we get distracted and while praying. But when we're watching TV, watching shows, idling, just nobody calls. Focus on the TV. there's no disturbance, there's no. But when we do the things of God, when we pray and somebody will call, somebody will knock on the door. We need to get focused, amen. And the word is very important. We cannot live without the word. in 2 Timothy 2:15 or John 14:15, first it says here, if you love me, says the Lord, obey my commandments. Amen. And we cannot be separated from the word. We need to take it and obey it. And 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show or to shew thyself, King James Version, proven to God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. You know, God also reminded me of, there's a revelation here that if only, I know some, we're trying, you know, and we're walking, we're studying the word, we're reading the word, we hear the preaching on the pulpit, and God just revealed to me lately, just if only my people would really focus, if my people would really go to the word and study it, and go and study and learn all my precepts and statutes and everything, you know, people won't be missing in the church. People will, you know, be in the church and they would stay. But because they're not deeply rooted, you know, parable of the sower, right? There were those seeds were thrown into the thorns and they didn't grow, and the bird take the seeds away. That's why the word is very important. We need to study the word. And also, not only that, it's when somebody would confront us that they have a different gospel, you know, we could share what the truth is. Be prepared. And in 2 Peter, it says we need to be prepared in refuting saying the truth. We need the word. We need the word. As we eat three times a day, spiritually speaking, we need the word. We need to eat the word, and we need to study it and put it in our hearts and apply it in our daily living. Amen. So the word is very important. That's the key. And by the way, being prosperous and successful is not all these material things, like the prosperity gospels preaching. Being successful is being in the will of God, just like what Pastor was saying. Being successful is doing the things of God, like, you know, holding on to the law of God, holding on to the word. Being successful and prosperous is not only with material things. It's, you know, being successful is being drawn closer to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And lastly, Joshua is a man whom, in whom is the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I got a hunk. I always want to be filled in the Spirit, man. You know. Yeah, sometimes there'll come a time that because we experience trials and problems in life, we get through the valleys, and you know, but we need to be filled with the Spirit, just you know, if you read Numbers chapter 13, because Moses sent 12 spies to Canaan to scout the land, to spy, and when they came back, man, 10 spies have bad report, and Caleb stood up and Joshua. Yes, we can do it. They said, you know, we could defeat that. We could defeat the enemy. And the other spies, they said, oh, those were the giants. And see, we brought their fruit. It's so big. We're like grasshoppers to them. But Caleb said, if the Lord is with us and is pleasing to us, we could defeat those. So they're full with the Spirit of God. And they stood their ground, like what Pastor T.A. was saying. We need to stand on our ground, on our post, and never say no, right? Never say no for the Lord. You know, that's why when Pastor Fee asked me to, you know, Lord, I have a lot of stuff to do, but nevertheless, the scriptures also say in the book of Timothy, it says that we need to be prepared in and out of season, and be prepared. Because one of these days, the Lord will speak to Pastor Fee, will call you to preach or call you to share the word, right? So we need to be prepared. That's why we need the word. Numbers 27:18, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. This guy is filled with the Spirit. And lay thine hand upon. So he lay hand upon Joshua, just like when I believe it's Samuel or Nathan, when he chose David to be the king, although they put Saul, he anointed King David, right? And pray for him and lay hands. And in Deuteronomy 34:9, and Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Amen. So he was full of the spirit of wisdom. And I always pray, not only wisdom and knowledge to get all the information, but wisdom to decide, the decision to make, and the waiting upon the Lord on what to do. As the Lord has spoke this weekend to me, that what would you have me do, Lord Jesus? What have you thought of asking Jesus about that? Sometimes I always overpass or overtake the Lord in the things He wants me to do. And it's very important that sometimes we need to pause, right? We need to pause and stop. Lord, what do you want me to do? And I'll do it, just like Joshua. So the Lord wants us to be servant, right? The Lord wants us to be a disciple. He wants us to be a witness. It's never too late. It's never too late. Even you have been long in the faith. For how many years? I got saved November 22. I won't forget that time. November 22, 1987, I was on the altar. I knelt down before the Lord. I said, Lord, I give it all to you. You know, Lord, I surrender everything to you. 7 o'clock, I got saved. I accepted the Lord. The my classmates in high school who brought me to that fellowship were praying, Lord, let John come forward, because usually they ushered them. They were ushers. The pastor is calling you for the altar calling. But little did they know, they were praying. I was on the middle. I was already on the front. I didn't care who was in there. I one of the family, you know, because boy, my family is close Catholic, and sometimes I don't want to let them see me, or I don't go to this fellowship. But that time, God has wooed me. The Holy Spirit wooed me to Jesus, wooed me to come forward and said, Lord, here I am. And those times, boy, I tell you, there's a mountain of different kind of drugs, because the pastor says, whatever you have in your pocket, cigarettes, you know, surrender it. There's a lot of sticks of marijuana, joints, and everybody surrendered. And I was there, I said, I was crying, everything, fall, you know, and I accepted the Lord, 1987. And from then on, God had called me to serve. God has called me. Didn't even know that I'll be involved in the ministry, music ministry. So God had called me, I know, for a purpose. So each and every one of us, God has called us to do something for Him. Amen. Even just by praying, even just, you know, and God will promote you. God will just like Joshua, you know, God will give you a task one day. Probably God will give you a task of sharing to somebody, you know, that you've been praying for, a relative, a friend, and they don't come to the church at all, and they're, you know, sometimes the devil or the enemy would give us a lie that you cannot witness to that person, because you see, he's immoral, he's, you know, he's very worldly, and, you know, it you're gonna have a hard time, just give it up. But no, God would never give up to somebody, amen. That's right. God can save anyone. That's right. You know, it says in the book of Ephesians that from the foundations of the world, God had, you know, called us. God has saved us. God, even way back, you already know that God will pick you. Imagine out of if you get a handful of sand, as the numbers of the sand, millions and trillions, you know, God has picked Araceli. God has picked Sister Catherine. God has picked Pastor T.A., man, and God has called us for a purpose, amen. And again, I would say that, bring back the question, what would you do for Jesus? Amen. It's about listening, about hearing His voice. Because sometimes I always, you know, do my own thing and miss God's command or commission, whatever God wants me to do. So we always need to be sensitive. Just like what Pastor Fee was saying, you know, sometimes we need to seek God on what God wants us to do in our day-to-day life. Amen. So let us pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for reminding us the message tonight, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that this would just be implanted, even be taught, or that your children would think about asking that question, Lord, what can I do for you, Lord? Because it's always me, Lord, and sometimes we even disobey and pass you, Lord God. Father, I pray, even this perilous time, this last days that we pray, that we could hear your voice, God. We could hear your voice, Lord God. That you're saying that you want us, Lord God, to obey and listen to you, O God. And do the things, just like in the life of Joshua, O God. That, Lord, may we serve you, Lord God. May we be a witness for you. May be a watchman, Lord God, for you, O God. I pray, Lord God, that may we devote more time on your word, on the book of the law, God, that will not depart from our mouths, Father, and in our hearts, in the name of Jesus, O God, that we may be warriors and intercessors for you, that our battleground, Lord, is when we kneel down before you and pray and seek you, O God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for reminding us with these things, Lord God, and I pray that God, may we be filled with the Spirit all the time, O God. Always, Lord God, inspired and ready, O God, to take the commission of the Lord in our lives and whatever you want us to do, O God. Even the people that are listening in the internet, I pray in Jesus' name that you would touch their hearts. Lord, those who are not saved, I pray, O God, that you would touch them. Yes. I pray, Lord God, that they will accept you as their Lord and Savior. Father, we come to you. If you can pray this prayer right now. Lord Jesus, I come to you. Lord, come into my heart. Come into my heart and be the Lord and Savior, O God, of my life. That from now on, I will live for you, Lord, until the day you come, O God. Father, save me. I pray in Jesus' name. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. And I commit my life unto you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you once again, Lord, for tonight. Let us be reminded, O God, that we need, Lord God, to be attentive and be alert, O God, and be sensitive to your voice, Lord. The voice, it may be an audible voice, it might be your voice in the Word, in the Scriptures, O God. Speak to us, Lord God, even these last days that we're living, Lord. So, Father, we give you all the glory and honor and praise tonight. Thank you for speaking to us tonight. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.